Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
One, I'm going to read a very well-known part of the Christmas story, Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You've found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was set to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Amen, and may God bless the reading of his word. The theme of our Christmas season this year is "Who would have believed it?" Because the year's been like that. Who would have believed it? At the start of the year, we were talking about 2020 vision and different things, all kinds of things associated with that. But it all changed. God has helped us through so far, and I believe he will continue, of course, to help us through. I don't believe God caused COVID, but I believe God is sovereign over all, and he can use this season to minister to us and to use us to help others. As Alec Harley shared in his testimony a couple of weeks ago, as God spoke to him during his battle with COVID, that God's ways and God's thoughts are higher than our ways and our thoughts. But I do believe what happened that first Christmas can help us navigate this Christmas and this season. And I pray that what I share today will be an encouragement and a blessing to you. And the first thing I want to say today is, as far as history is concerned, the virgin birth was unprecedented, although prophesied. Notice the words here that we read, and also in Matthew 1:18, it tells us, "Before Mary and Joseph came together, she was found to be with child." Before they came together. This is a story, and we've just read it, about the virgin birth. The story of how God used Mary for that very important ministry. And she's a very, very important Bible character, overstated in some parts of the church and understated and underrepresented in others. She was the only person actually present at the birth of the Lord Jesus and at the death of the Lord Jesus. And here we are introduced to her at the angel Gabriel's second mission. And his first mission was to go to Zechariah and speak to him about the birth of John the Baptist. And this is the second mission where the archangel is sent to speak to Mary. And she lives in a town called Nazareth. And the Bible actually has to tell us where Nazareth is. That means that the readers of that day would have not known where it was. And of course, the Jews in Galilee didn't particularly like Nazareth. They didn't like the people in Galilee because they actually thought that the people up there were not kosher. They weren't particularly ceremonially clean. And they especially despised the people from Nazareth. So God didn't choose Jerusalem. He didn't choose Jericho. He chose Nazareth. He cuts through everything that people think is important to do what he chooses to do, and chooses this young woman. And if you read through the Bible, and places like 1 Corinthians 1 tells us that God didn't choose all the big names, he didn't choose all the fancy people, I'm paraphrasing, but he chose the weak and the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And so if you think you fit that category, then you are an amazing category for God to be able to use. And so Mary was a virgin. That was her state beforehand. It was her state during conception and during her pregnancy. And she was pledged to be married to a man called Joseph, and betrothed to be married. And, when I did Scots law for my bank exams, we learned at that particular time that a verbal contract was indeed a contract. But back in those days, the word betrothed or pledged to be married took an even deeper significance in those days, because you will notice that when Joseph heard the news that Mary was expecting a child, it says he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So it had a huge significance in that particular time. So here's God coming through the angel Gabriel, coming to speak to this young girl in her early teens. And if you're a teenager here today, it reminds me that God can use any age for his honor and for his glory. In fact, all ages are used in the Christmas story. So Mary is an unlikely person. She's an unlikely place. And here's God giving her an angelic visitation. And it was unprecedented. That's been one of the words of 2020, unprecedented. In fact, almost people apologize for using it nowadays because they almost say, dare I say it, unprecedented. And this year has been like that. I've never lived through anything like it all my life. And I suppose it's pretty much the same for you. It has affected people's health. It has affected families. It has affected how we do stuff together as a family. We are not able to go and visit some members of our family. We're not allowed to stay over. We didn't get a hug from our grandchildren to begin with. It's affected how we work in the marketplace, in our workplace. Many of you are working from home. You're thankful that you don't have to travel backwards and forwards, but some of you are almost like run like hamsters on a wheel because of the expectation. It's on you, and we are praying into that situation. It's affected church. It affected Easter. It's affected Christmas. We're doing our best to create space for people to come along and have Christmas services. Today, we were able to process over 100 people in our services. But over the Christmas period, hopefully, there's opportunity for people to come along. We feel particularly sad at this moment in time that many of our Tier 4 people are missing. People from Stirling, from Cumbernauld, from West Lothian, and people from the Glasgow area travel and come to Found Church. We miss you among us at this time. It has affected finances. The country's expected to be paying for it for years, so all you young people will be paying for this in your taxes for years to come. There's never been such borrowing in peacetime. It's affected weddings. It's affected funerals. It's affected holidays. You know, the last three funerals I've taken over the last few weeks have all been outside funerals. It used to be that bit was as short as possible, and you would say most of what you would say inside, but it's all changed, and now the funerals are taking place outside. It's been a season of loss. It's a loss of normality, a loss of health, a loss of loved ones, a loss of dreams coming true. And it's okay to be upset. As many of us have been upset during this particular time. And we need to understand the struggles and empathize with the struggles that other people go through. There's a wide variety of struggles, as I've mentioned, at this moment in time. But I believe that God spoke to me that there is grace in the season. And that season, it happened back then, at that first Christmas. Something happened that was even more unprecedented. It was prophesied that the virgin would give birth to a child. And that was unprecedented. It had never happened before. The prophet Isaiah had spoken about, I think prophecy is one of the great miracles of the Bible. And I love speaking about it. And that's not my subject today, but it's a very, very interesting subject. And so Matthew would tell us, for example, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, that the virgin will conceive. And so it was prophesied. Micah himself prophesied it. He actually prophesied 700 and odd years before the birth of Jesus that the Lord Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Now, Mary was from Nazareth, 80 miles away. And you might think, well, that's not a problem. We'll just go in our car and an hour and a half we'll be there. But it was 4 days in those particular situation and circumstances. But God so engineered it that the people from Nazareth had to go to Bethlehem for that census when the hopes and fears of all the years were met in him that night. Because it's unusual and unprecedented and hasn't happened since, it's a well-known fact that people disparage and ridicule and criticize the virgin birth. It was a challenge to Mary in her day. She said, how will this be since I'm a virgin? And so people today think it's crazy to believe in things like that. I've heard it said when people have children pretty quick, that they'll say, well, I suppose it was another virgin birth or things like that. People kind of disparage that and undermine that kind of thing. But there's people actually today believe stranger things than the virgin birth. It is out of the realm of the ordinary. But John Lennox, I think David went to school with him, but John Lennox is a professor and he argues very well for the consistency of the Christian faith, one of the great apologetic writers of our day. And he was debating with Peter Singer from Princeton, also a professor, and one of the world's most influential atheists. And he asked him, why are we here? And Peter Singer replied, we can assume that somehow, in the primeval soup, we got collections of molecules that became self-replicating, and I don't think we need any miraculous or mysterious explanation. If that is not a mysterious explanation. And so people believe that today, or the late brilliant Cambridge physicist Stephen Hawking, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. Spontaneous creation is the reason there is something rather than nothing. Why the universe exists. Why we exist. And I ask myself, friends, if people are prepared to believe stuff like that, what is the problem with the virgin birth? Somebody said, we live in a miraculous world, regardless of whether you're a theist, an atheist, or an agnostic. There's no getting around that fact. It's not just a matter of whether we believe in a virgin birth, it's just a matter of which virgin birth we choose to believe. So whether you believe the world had a virgin birth, like I've just said, some of the eminent scientists of our day believe, or whether you believe with Professor John Lennox and people like myself that God created the heavens and the earth, and a God who could create the heavens and the earth has got no problem in creating a baby in a womb, because he's God and he can do absolutely amazing things. In the Polar Express film, it says, seeing is believing, but sometimes the most real things in the world are the things that we can't see. So as far as history is concerned, the virgin birth was unprecedented, although it was prophesied. And secondly, as far as Mary was concerned, it was unexpected, but personally responded to. According to tradition, Miriam, a Hebrew name, or Mary as we know her, a peasant girl, a teenager, was very young when she gave birth to a Savior. And she doesn't appear to have possessed any kind of special gifts or outstanding qualities, at least until after her encounter with the angel. And it just shows how God can take insignificant, ordinary people to accomplish his will. And we'll come back to that. But didn't that mess up Mary and Joseph's plans, just as this year has been messed up? You know, one of my bucket list things is to go to Israel. And this year, Diane and I had been offered the privilege of being able to co-lead a trip to Israel. And that was cancelled. We were going to be celebrating as a family in Spain, Diane's 60th birthday. And we were unable to do that. I was supposed to go on a mission trip to Ethiopia. And that had to be cancelled. And that's only three of the highlighted things that we were going to do. Our year has been messed up. And in the first Christmas story, baby Jesus messed up the plans of both Mary and Joseph. And Jesus still sometimes is in the business of messing up our plans. Sometimes our plans need to be messed up because God wants our plans to actually be his plans. I'm currently reading a book about race. by Ben Lindsay, a black theologian who's, and I'm reading it to understand, having had a black pastor here and a person of color as a pastor here, that I always thought was never an issue for me, and really good friends of all races, but I hadn't really probably understood white privilege. And so I'm reading this book, and it tells the story of a Reverend Dr. Kate Coleman, and how as a person of color, as a woman in her church, in the church setting she belonged to, they didn't actually believe in women in ministry. And she speaks about coming out of university and asking God what he wanted to do with her life, but she admits she had a few good ideas of her own. And she says, unfortunately, God wasn't really interested in my ideas. I like that. And so actually, she became a leader in that church, and everything was against her, but God made it possible. And so the Christmas story, God messed up Mary and Joseph's plans, if you like. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel spoke to her reassuring words like, fear not, spoke prophetic words and told her about what would happen, as we've read about Jesus getting the throne of his father David. What a shock! And she embraced that. So when she said, how will this happen? And there's a contrast between her and Zechariah, but it wasn't the how of unbelief, it was the how of, how's this really going to happen? And the answer is, God's going to do it. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. After the 400 years that was we were singing about in the Hallowed Manger song a few moments ago, after the 400 silent years, God's up to something. Something amazing is happening in this particular time, and this is going to be a work of the Holy Spirit. How is she going to respond to this unexpected interruption? She personally responded. She believed. She was willing to embrace what God has said. She could have said, no, Gabriel, you're great. This is amazing, but now I think you've got the wrong person, or I'm not ready for this. But she was a willing, obedient channel of blessing, in spite of the pain, in spite of the cost that she was going to pay. The pain of pregnancy, with all its weight gain, discomfort, inconvenience, pain. And the Bible explains and uses numerous analogies with pregnancy and giving birth with some of the illustrations in the Bible. And that's only the start of sleepless nights, sacrifice. Nowadays, it's a taxi driver and a bank and all of these things at the same time. And sadly today, many, many people choose not to go through with their pregnancies because of the cost of these things. And the cost of misunderstanding and navigating the reactions of those closest to him. The looks, the stares, the whispers. Later on in John 8, when the Lord Jesus is being confronted by the religious leaders, they turn round to him and says, we're not illegitimate children. And so there's a stigma. My mother was an illegitimate child, and I don't know the stigma that caused her throughout her life. A young child, yet unmarried, insignificant, and yet possibly jeopardizing a relationship with Joseph. He'd have an angelic visitation to keep him from divorcing her quietly. Risking her family relationship with her parents. I mean, how does she tell Joseph and her mom? And last year or so, I came across this kind of dialogue that Heidi Baker in her book, Birth and the Miraculous, mentioned. It suggested that it Mary says, Mom, rejoice with me. An angel came and now I'm pregnant. Come on, everybody, let's have a party. Yeah. Or, Joseph, I can't wait to tell you the news. I'm so excited. God's found favor with me. I'm going to have a baby. It's not yours. Don't worry. It's a wonderful gift. Be happy with me, Joseph. I mean, how do you tell that? And the Bible says she embraced that. She did not shrink back. She embraced it. Sometimes the most spectacular miracle, somebody wrote, can get us into spectacular trouble. And this is Mary here with this announcement. And our response is not emotional. I've seen lots of people. I've lived long enough, been in leadership long enough to hear people make the most amazing promises and not fulfill them. But she was willing. She says, I am the Lord's servant. And really, that's what God wants every one of us to be. Are we his servant, or are we expecting him to serve our plans and our vision? Is he truly Lord? You know, she says, may it be to me as you've said. She was actually better than Moses when she said that. Because when Moses was called, he had all kinds of excuses. And so she said yes. And the adventure that she went on because she said yes is amazing. And let me tell you, friends, those of you who are listening here and those of you who are listening at home, the adventure that God brings us on when we say yes to him is amazing, even in this season, even on unprecedented seasons. It's a journey for all of us. God worked in Joseph with angels coming to him. Elizabeth gets filled with the Spirit. And Elizabeth's baby, even while in the womb, and there's actually studies going on just now, and there's proof that babies actually feel pain in the womb. Well, the baby here, the John the Baptist, he was actually filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb and leapt. And that's why I believe that a baby prior to birth is a living being, and God is interested in that. But that's only part of many adventures that she had. She came out with a great song of praise when she met John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth. An amazing song. Read it. Read it at home. It's a wonderful song. And it's not about what Mary's done. It's about all that God has done for Mary. Her soul magnifies God. She rejoices in God, her Savior. Notice that Mary needed a Savior too, as well. And she realized the marvelous things that God had done. So as far as history is concerned, the virgin birth was unprecedented, although prophesied. And as far as Mary was concerned, it was unexpected, but personally responded to. And as far as this story is concerned, it points to a great principle. God uses uninfluential and unusual people to accomplish his purposes. And so my question, as I begin to bring this together today, is, will you and I allow God to use you and me over this Christmas period and in the days that lie ahead? As I said, when she responded, it was the beginning of an amazing adventure for her. And because she was compliant with a God who does impossible things. In Heidi Baker's book, Birth and the Miraculous, she says, personally, I don't think it likely that she was already stunningly able or spectacular in her spiritual life. She's probably an ordinary teenage girl who loved God simply. I imagine she was much like any one of us, a little jar of clay. Let me tell you, friends, if you're a teenager here today, say yes to Jesus and he'll take you on the most amazing journey you can have in your life. Most people are happy for God to use a Mary, but not quite as happy for God to use them. Maybe they're happy for God to do what he wants with his own body, like dying on the cross, but not ours. Maybe we're happy for him to give us gifts and miracles, but we get offended at the thought of a miracle that inconvenienced us. But I believe if we grasp the significance today of Mary's response, we can see that God can do great things through us, unprecedented things. We can be carriers of the hope of God's amazing promise today. God still does amazing things today. He still wants to form Christ in us as he did in Mary, and Christ to flow through us in our lives. As Pentecostals, we are people of the Spirit. We believe in the work of the Spirit. In the last days, when Peter was speaking in his Pentecost sermon, he says, in these last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. You know, when we were worshiping at the first service this morning, when we were worshiping, I believe that God gave me a picture. I believe he wanted me to share it with the congregation to start with. And it was just this picture of somebody like fallen as if they'd slipped on ice. And it was just like people had fallen, and now we've got to pick ourselves up, and everybody laughs at us and stuff like that. But it was just this sense that God was picking up the fallen. And God just did that for me as I just sat in that seat in the first service today. And God still speaks prophetically, still wants us to say, yes, Lord, use me. Yes, Lord. These are unprecedented days. Dare I suggest they're also prophesied days. When I read the book of Revelation today, friends, it looks very real to me. It looks very real to me as I look at some of the things that's happening, even the cashless societies and things like that, that people were talking about when I was newly converted. When I see how one event can trigger and ripple around the whole world and stuff like that, you know, my antenna's up. My spiritual ears are open. Diane and I talk regularly. Do we believe we're living in the last days? And I certainly believe that we're living in the last days. Of course, they began in the days of Pentecost, in the days of Jesus. But I believe we're living in the last of the last days. And I believe in Jesus himself could come at any time. These are unexpected days, but they can personally be responded to by us, just like Mary. They are unexpected. And then we didn't think at the start of the year that we would be sitting where we're at Christmas. But God can use us in this season. God uses uninfluential, unusual people to accomplish his purpose. I found this season to be a season of challenges, as you have. I mentioned some of them. Full of twists and turns. You get something organized and then something else has changed. You know, you put on your services and then you find that people from Tier 4 can't come to the services, or you find there's other restrictions and different things happen, and it's almost like you've almost to be a step ahead, not even knowing what the step is. I've personally learned new skills, and God has used the church to do amazing things. We continue to do amazing things. Let me say online, if you are listening this year and you don't have a Christmas present or whatever, you contact us. We will help you. If you don't have a Christmas dinner, you contact us. We will help you. We want to help people through this season. We are doing presents for people in our community. We're doing meals for people that don't have meals, or providing the resources for it. You know, they've given us amazing opportunities. Our children's and family workers pastor has delivered 70 items to the kids in our church this week. Boxes for the kids to appreciate. We've been embarked on visitation for all of our people in church. Everyone ought to have had a visit. If you are a member of a life group, you will have received your mugs and there are other things that are going on in the church. And still people will probably say, well, I was ignored, I was missed out. But we put a big shift in to try and help people in this season to feel loved and to feel special. And God's given us amazing opportunities in this season. I've heard the voice of God speak to me. Speak words of encouragement. Speak challenge. And I want to be like Mary in this challenging season. Who would have believed it that God could use a Mary? Who would have believed it that God could use a Michael? Who would have believed it that God could use you or I in this season? And really, I believe that's what we're talking about this morning. Who would have believed it? The people that God uses, you and me. Let's join our hearts together in prayer this morning. I want to say, friends, if you are struggling with something...
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.